We've probably all been there. The room is quiet. The tone is serious. Maybe it's during a prayer time in worship or a lull in a work meeting. And without fail, especially at certain times of the day, your stomach decides to sing a song of longing. Growl, feed me, it says, I need food. There's no masking or hiding this sound. The people around you look in your direction as your stomach continues to sing its longing song. Maybe that's even your current experience as you anticipate lunch after worship. In Paul's letter to the Philippians, he speaks with a sense of longing. How I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus, he writes. In the Message paraphrase, Eugene Peterson summarizes Paul's words like this: sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does. It's not with an earthly desire that Paul longs for the Philippians, but a divine one. Paul's longing for the church in Philippi is equal to the longing Christ has for his church. It has been over 3 months since Pastor Tim and I were last with you all, excited to begin our new ministry together. And since that day, we have longed for this moment, when we could finally be here with you and begin to settle into our ministry alongside you. To guide the beginning of our time together, Pastor Tim and I decided to spend these first few weeks in the book of Philippians, because Paul's words in this letter are meant to draw a community closer to one another as they draw closer to Christ. This letter is a different tone than some of Paul's other letters, like the Corinthians or Galatians, where Paul takes much more of a paternal approach, correcting and criticizing so the church will get their act together. In this letter to the church in Philippi, however, he addresses them as partners that share in the gospel together. He addresses them with affection and joy. To open his letter, Paul uses various forms of the Greek word koinonia, which may be a familiar word since it's one that's favorited by the Church of the Brethren. Koinonia is a rich word with meaning that is a little difficult to translate into English. While this word has now become associated with churchy words, religious words, it wasn't originally. It's similar to our meaning for fellowship or community, referring to things like political allegiance, a social association, a business, or marriage partnership. In general, the key notion, as Gordon Zerbe explains, is participating in something together, to be partners. Paul sees the church in Philippi as partners in the work of the gospel, partners in mutual aid as they support him during his imprisonment, and partners in suffering for the sake of Christ. Because of their common bond, he is confident in both the work of the church in Philippi and the work of God in the church. It's a twofold confidence: confidence in their human partnership and confidence in their divine partnership. Paul can be confident in the work of the Philippians because it is grounded in the gospel. It originates in God's action, a response to what God has already done in Christ, and a celebration of the knowledge that God will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ, which is an eschatological, an end-time term referring to Christ's return and the completion of God's plan. It is for these purposes, God's faithfulness in the past and God's intended future, that the church in Philippi is to do its work. For the glory of God, they are in partnership with one another and with Christ. Paul says he longs for the church in Philippi with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And Paul says this longing is grounded in the knowledge that the Philippians hold him in their hearts. But Greek grammar can be a little difficult at times to translate, and this sentence is an example of the difficulty. If you still have your Pew Bibles open, you may notice that in verse 7, the editors have a footnote that says the verse could also be translated, "I hold you in my heart." Greek lacks some sentence order like we have in English, so it's occasionally hard for translators to determine what the subject and what the object is of a sentence. So in this case, many translators have shown a preference for the translation, "You hold me in your heart." But it could also be, "I hold you in my heart." Now, this may seem insignificant to dwell upon, but one of the beautiful things about Greek is in some cases there's room for both meanings to be true, an accommodation that our English language doesn't make in this instance. Paul once again is referring to their partnership and mutuality. It's not a one-sided affection. They hold one another in their hearts, both Paul and the church in Philippi. Now, in our culture that sees community as friends on Facebook and followers on Twitter, that stays connected through the convenience of email and text messages, we often struggle to make genuine connection. How many of us have felt emboldened to send a quippy email or text in response to conflict rather than a face-to-face conversation? How many of us are quick to respond on social media out of anger or frustration because of the protective separation of a computer screen? But we are not computers. We need human connection. We are enlivened by a smile, the touch of a loved one, or a simple conversation. This genuine connection cannot be fabricated. It can't be programmed or downloaded. This basic human need is an opportunity for the church, because the church is a place where we make space for one another, where we open up our hearts to hold one another for the glory of God. Thomas Troeger tells of a cartoon he once saw picturing a lone religious pilgrim with a staff, robe, and a long beard. He was stopped at a fork in the road, facing signs pointing down two different paths. The sign pointing in one direction was labeled "The Meaning of Life." The other, "Cheese and crackers." The pious part of ourselves may be tempted by the path that leads to the meaning of life, but if we truly understand the incarnation, we will not hesitate for a second to head down the path labeled "cheese and crackers," where no doubt others will be gathered in fellowship, sharing with one another in their space and time. Paul prays for the Philippians in hopes that they might have a love that overflows, a virtue that cannot be experienced in isolation but can only be understood in community. Love must be embodied, especially when it is love that finds its origin in God incarnate, namely Jesus. Jesus was not a spirit that floated haphazardly above earth, but a body who had a heart that pumped blood, feet who pounded the ground, a stomach that growled when it was hungry. He responded to not only the spiritual needs, but the physical needs of people, feeding and healing them. He also criticized practices, religious and otherwise, that isolated people from one another. He responded to people's hungry bellies and hungry souls. When Paul talks about his compassionate longing for the Philippians, the Greek word we have translated as compassion or affection actually means bowels. Yes, you heard me right. Paul literally writes that he longs for the Philippians with the bowels of Christ. Don't worry, there is helpful cultural understanding that goes along with this. In Greek culture, the stomach or gut was often associated with longing. And if we really think about it, it makes sense. The stomach is actually very expressive, responding to hunger with growls, responding to new love with butterflies, responding to nerves with nausea. In our culture, we talk about longing for someone or something with our heart, but for the Greeks, you longed for someone or something with your gut. So Paul is drawn to the church in Philippi like our stomachs are drawn to the smells and associations with gathering for a meal. Likewise, he hoped that the church in Philippi would find their appetite for one another as they do the work of Christ for the glory of God. This begs the question of us: do we have an appetite for one another as we gather in Christ's name? For the glory of God, do we hold one another in our hearts? This kind of appetite contains echoes of the greatest commandment, a call to love God with heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourself. A community that has this kind of longing for one another is confident of the love of God in their midst, and therefore can see the image of God in everyone. A community that has an appetite for one another seeks to lovingly discern God's will for them and their future. As we begin our ministry together, may our appetites growl in longing appreciation for one another as we seek to draw closer to Christ, letting his will and way be our guide. And then may this love overflow into our community, spilling out into the world for the glory of God and our neighbor's good. Amen.